Hello and welcome to CICK News. CICK News is your local and regional news coverage provided by me, Pamela Hassan, and Dan Messick for Smithers Community Radio. This news program is funded by the Community Radio Fund of Canada and the Government of Canada, and our aim is to provide local coverage on stories that affect the lives of Northerners like you.
There's a new sport in Smithers this winter, and it's creating quite a stir in the north, with the introduction of a ringette association, joining the existing Houston and Terrace teams. The launch of the third ringette team in the north is being described as momentous. On Saturday, December 16th, Smithers invited the general public to come try ringette. The Houston and Terrace teams put on a rousing exhibition game to showcase the sport. But before the game, everyone was invited to lace up their skates and try some ringette drills for themselves. Here's Danny Huseman, president of the Smithers Ringette Association, welcoming a sizable gathering of both players and hopefuls.
So my name is Danny, okay? I'm president of the Smithers Ringette Association, and this is my helper, Jaden. She's my main coach here. And we are going to have some fun today. We've got some friends from Houston. Who's from Houston? All right, we got friends from Houston, and we got friends from Terrace. Who's from Terrace? Nice. Thank you guys for coming out and helping and showing everybody here what ringette is all about. And those bigger kids are going to be playing a game after, so you can see a real game. So what we're going to do today is we're going to split up into two groups. Kiddos that need help skating and are a little shy, or if you just feel like you don't want to participate in some bigger drills, just a little faster, you can go with Jaden, okay? So Jaden's going to be down here, and we're going to be practicing our skating. And if anyone wants to come with me, we're going to be skating a bit more and doing some drills and practicing some passing and shooting. You can come with me on this side, all right?
After the on-ice drills, Danny and her assistant, Jaden Bester, joined me in the arena vestibule. I wanted to understand the sport better and how it differs from hockey. Let's start with what is ringette for the people that don't know what that is.
Ringette is an on-ice sport. It was originally meant for females, but everyone plays it now. It's very similar to hockey. You know, you've got your skates, your helmet, but the difference is that you've got your stick. It doesn't have a blade on it, so it's not like hockey. It doesn't have a blade, and you use a ring instead of a puck. So it's a fast-paced game. There's usually two 20-minute periods, and then you've got five skaters on the ice, just like hockey, defense, forward, center, and then a goalie.
I think the thing I like the most about ringette is that it's non-contact.
I think that's a huge draw for people. It's just maybe considered a safer sport, and the focus is more on skills and not just body contact. Very fast paced. There's usually a shot clock, actually, so 30 seconds for each team. So once you lose possession, the other team starts their 30 seconds again, so it keeps the game moving. You don't have kind of that ring hog mentality. And then, of course, you got to pass over the blue lines, which is a huge difference than compared to hockey. So it really fosters team participation. You can't just go from one end of the rink to the next by yourself.
Can you give us a bit of the history of the sport? I'm kind of smitten with the history because it started near where I was born.
In Ontario?
Yeah.
I believe it was started in 1963 by a guy named Sam Jacks, and he kind of developed it for his daughters, and he wanted a game that was a little bit more just geared toward female inclusion. Yeah, it just kind of grew from there. I think the rules were refined and there popped up some associations. It was mostly just played in Ontario and Quebec for the first little bit, and then associations started popping up throughout the rest of the country. And I believe actually BC is celebrating 50 years of ringette this year.
50?
50.
Wow.
So it's actually about 10 years behind the rest of, like, say, Ontario. You know, 50 years is very something to be proud of, for sure. It's come a long way since then. The game has gotten faster. It's developed. There's lots of associations. There's lots of different levels.
And it's gone international.
Yeah, it's gone international, exactly.
Cool. Let's talk about how ringette and hockey differ. There are some specific things about how you play that make it more of a team sport.
The first thing is obviously our blue wines. I think the most important part is that you do have to pass. You have to pass to ideally somebody else on your team over those blue wines, right? I think that's the hugest difference. And then, again, no hitting, right? It's no body contact, so you have to be fast. You don't get the excuse to just hit somebody and steal the ring. You actually have to be able to maneuver around them or pass off to your teammates. It's not a one-man or one-woman show.
Yeah.
Can I ask you something for a minute?
Yeah.
Is it harder to collect a pass with a stick, like a ring, than it is with a blade and a puck?
So I've played both, and I find I struggle with hockey just because of the rules, right? The rules are a little bit different. But as far as catching, you have the same general aim. Like, as you grow up in the sport and what have you, you develop that natural kind of muscle movement to just catch it. I did notice when we were doing ringette with the littles in the gyms and whatnot, though, they weren't having a huge struggle being able to point, as long as we taught them how to point for your ring and then catch it.
There's lots of cues that you can teach kids, like, you know, when you're catching the ring, as soon as it comes to your stick, you say stop, you say it out loud, or little things like that, and I think the movements kind of become more natural, that motor muscle memory. And
we've got the blue line.
Yeah, so you can't skate through the crease. Super important, the goalie is the only one that's allowed in there, so whether you're on the like defending team or the other team, yeah, no one's allowed in there. And then when the ring goes in, that's the goalie's ring, so the goalie can pick up the ring. They've got 5 seconds to pass the ring out kind of like a frisbee. And that's definitely a huge difference. You know, the goalie's just like covered up in hockey right away. I mean, they can play it, I guess, if they go out. But another difference is a ringette goalie can't go out of the crease and bring the ring into the crease. That's actually a delay of game. So you can go out and like hit it with your stick, like the goalie stick, to pass it out, but you can't bring the ring back into the crease. Mm-hmm. Another thing is that players, like a defense, if they don't have a good passing option, they can pass it to their goalie, and the goalie can pick it up, and you can kind of redistribute the ring and break out that way. So that's really different in the sense that you can really actually use your goalie to create plays in the game versus not so much in hockey.
Yeah.
Okay. No face-offs.
Yeah, it's just a free pass, basically. So it's only one person in the circle. They've got 5 seconds to pass the ring, and you've got different places where you can have a free pass. So either in the offensive zone, you can have a defensive free pass as well, and then the neutral zone free pass.
The other thing I noticed out there was that almost everyone had a cage on their helmet.
Yeah, that's the kind of the big deal. And the cage is different too, right? The cage is designed so that the sticks can't go through the cage, whereas a hockey cage is a square, and the end of a ringette stick could easily go through the square cage. So that's why, yeah, ringette players have that specialized cage.
Let's say I get a penalty for something. If ringette is anything like hockey, most of the violations are to protect the players. Is that how it works with ringette?
For the most part, yeah.
The penalties are all pretty much the same in, like, in hockey. You know, you got your tripping and your boarding and
cross-checking, stuff like that.
Yeah, so it's to protect the players for sure. But there's some delay of game penalty, which is different. So that's
right, because you've got that 30-second shot clock, right?
Yeah,
too many people on the ice.
Too many people on the ice.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Delay of game. Or even purposely flipping the ring over the boards or something like that.
Right.
What else? Stepping on the ring. So those are penalties that are maybe a little bit different. I don't know if there's an unsportsmanlike penalty, which is like a major penalty that has to be fully served the 2 minutes. You know, you don't want to see that one very often, but it is one that might be a little bit different than hockey. And then you've got your minor penalties, which are 2 minutes, and your major penalties, which are 4 minutes and fully served. So if the other team scores, you still have to stay in the box.
Oh, I see what you mean by fully served. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, you really pooch yourself. That's a big deterrent, isn't it?
Yeah. I think, and then the violations, you know, like those are penalties, but on-ice violations are more like, say if you skate through the crease, then that's out, you know, that's a violation, the team has possession, you blow the whistle down, and then we stop the play. Or if the team that made the violation doesn't have possession of the ring, then it's a 5 second count, so the ref will count 5 seconds, and the team that made the violation can't touch the ring for 5 seconds. So that's like a delayed, what do you call it? Delayed violation, I guess you could say. So those are like violations on the ice that would blow down the play, like the ref would blow down the play, and then the penalties are kind of a whole different.
The Terrace team are understandably proud of their accomplishments and their goals. Here's Kristen, one of the Terrace coaches.
So we have Houston has brought 8 players and Terrace brought 7. We want to do this part here.
All right, just leave this
is the fundamentals part of it. skating around, getting familiar with it. And it's nice to have the older kids getting engaged with the younger kids.
How long has Terrace had it?
Probably 20 years.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. I played when I was younger, and it was kind of coming into it. We didn't have a very large team, but right now I believe we are either second or third in the province for registration for our association.
Wow.
Yeah. So
that's something to be proud of, isn't
it? Yeah, we're the top three for sure.
Wow.
We're gearing up to go to the provincials down in Richmond in March during spring break, and we're hoping to go come home with gold. And Houston's coming as well, and we're hoping to see them in the finals.
Well, good luck.
Yeah, thanks. It's been great. It's a wonderful sport. It's no contact, less injuries. Both have their advantages and disadvantages.
Sure.
Great. So it's funny because you'll get hockey players that'll come try and they're like, oh, I can't do anything. And then you get ring it players trying, and oh, I can't do this. And
yeah.
So it's nice to see them all kind of work together.
Yeah.
Well.
Thank you, Kristen.
So
I appreciate your time.
You guys are going to have fun, I promise.
I also spoke with Stella, the captain of the Terrace team.
What's your name?
Stella.
And how long have you been playing ringette?
Since I was 5.
And how old are you now?
13.
Wow, that's a long time. So you must like it then.
Yeah.
What position do you play?
Center.
That's typical for a captain. So tell me a little bit about why you got into ringette.
I just wanted to try it out for a bit, and then I just got into it and then stayed with it.
Now, why ringette and not hockey?
Like, I started with ringette. I never even really thought about playing hockey.
You're hoping to go farther with this, like nationals or...
Maybe, yeah.
But you're happy with what you're doing right now?
Yeah.
Thank you, Stella. Yeah. I appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
Have fun out there.
Yeah, thank you.
Watching the smaller kids, I was impressed at the many techniques used for making them comfortable on the ice and getting them to practice a few simple drills.
I was really impressed that you had the kids on the ice with markers.
Oh, yeah.
You know, just making them comfortable on the ice.
Yeah.
Smart.
Yeah, that was, I think I would give credit to the Terrace coaches for that. They kind of suggested bingo daubers to me at the beginning. And, yeah, it's just to get kids out there and feeling comfortable. And even just the pool noodles, like, it has nothing to do with ringette. But you know what? Get some pool noodles out there and kids are just going to put it's going to put smiles on their face.
Yeah.
And, yeah, mm-hmm. Get them loving it.
We have ice practice at Terrace. We have about 3 times a week, and all the drills and everything help out with the times.
Right.
Yeah. So the more you do it, the better.
Right.
And then public skating as well on top of it.
Yeah.
The best part about it is you don't have to know how to skate. It doesn't matter what age group it is. It could be, you know, fun ones or even the tots, up to the U16, even U19.
Listen, I knew older people who started playing my age, who started playing hockey. They didn't know how to skate. But the minute you got that puck past you, you forgot you didn't know how to skate.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to carry that thing.
Yeah, totally different when you're in a game. It's just becoming like a natural skill.
Over the years, in my involvement with recreational sports, the biggest thing I've learned is that players inevitably take away soft skills that will benefit them in other areas of their life.
I understand the sporting skills part, but I always learn lots of soft skills when I take up a sport. What sorts of soft skills might participants learn from playing ringette?
Team building is a huge one, and communication is the number one skill I think that you do learn as a team. You've got to be able to communicate and know where your teammates are around you, and that's something that you carry on with you in the rest of the world. So we offer coaching programs and we offer roughing programs on top of our team building. And that helps you with communication. It helps you as a leader. It helps you as a coach. So later down the road, you have those skills to look back on. The positions in the game, as a defender, you kind of learn to be a bit more of a protector out in the real world. A forward, you're usually more forward and challenging, and you kind of build off of those skills. Your center position, the whole team kind of centers around you, and you're the leader. So when you're the leader of the group, that kind of builds those skills out in the real world to be able to coach everybody and be like, hey, this is how I want the whole plan to come together.
You know, something that I learned when I was playing sports was that I don't have to like all my teammates, but I have to respect them.
Yes, absolutely.
And it's really critical. A work situation with somebody who's difficult to work with, you still respect them.
Yep.
You know, and you look for the strengths that they bring to the team, and you try and just, you don't have to like them.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not required.
Absolutely, I agree.
And that's been a great development for me, because when I play sports, I look now for the soft skills that I'm learning. I think it's really important that kids get into sports because it rounds them out nicely.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's mostly circulated around your team. That's the most important thing, is you want to have a good, strong team together. When I was coming up in ringette, we always had extracurricular team building exercises because it's really important for the people that you're playing with to be close together and have that close relationship. And it just makes you stronger on the ice.
Totally.
Sure, if there's somebody that you don't know very well, then you're not going to pass them as often, right?
Exactly, and you can't rely on them too. Like, if you know that you have a teammate that you know is always going to be right there behind you, you don't have to look, you know they're there.
Exactly.
Because that's, you know that that's the relationship that you have. It just helps.
That's why there's teams like back in Alberta. There's a team that basically they're like an ex-NRL team, and which is like a National Ringette League team, but they all still play together. They're not in the NRL together anymore, but they've all played together for years and years and years and years, and like most of them are in their 40s, but like they are by far the best team in Alberta, and they've won provincials every year because they just like know each other. Like they like have like the force. They just know where each other's gonna be, and they can pass the ring without looking, and it's like so beautiful to watch. And even if you're like 20 and have all the gas in the world, still can't beat a smart player.
I've
been saying that for years about the Women's National Hockey League. It's so much nicer to watch them because they've got good technique and they know each other.
The technique is it's beautiful.
It's huge.
The Smithers Ringette Association has set itself some goals for its first year, based in part on what Danny has experienced with other teams across the country. So this is a really exciting moment for our town.
It is.
Yeah, I'm glad you're excited. We're excited. Yeah, we started, the idea in my brain started about the February of 2023 when I found out I was moving to Smithers and there was no ringette. So I was like, well, I got to start ringette. So I got in touch with the presidents from Terrace in Houston and they were like, yes, let's do this. So they're very supportive. I found some helpers like Jaden online and we've connected and we've made an association officially as of August of this year. So this is really like history in the making. We've just completed our first three on ice come try ringette sessions and we're gaining momentum. And so, yeah, hopefully we'll have some programs, some teams coming up in the next few years, and we're going to start more winter programs here. So,
how many people came today to participate?
Roughly 20.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Do you know how many times I heard that from somebody from Terrace or Houston? Oh, look at how many people are here.
Yeah. People are excited. Yeah, we started off our first program, we had 3. Our second one, we had
14.
And then probably around 20 this time, so...
Fantastic.
Yeah, really is. A lot of it isn't thanks to the gym ringette that we've been doing in the schools.
Yeah.
Because lots of people and lots of kids are like, hey, you know, they hear it through school. They tried it out in school, told their parents. I don't know about you, Jaden, but I walk down the street, people are like, hey, that's the ringette lady.
Oh, yeah, I get it all the time in the grocery stores and everything.
There are much worse reputations to have.
Yeah.
How far can you take ringette? Now, what I mean by that is it's not currently an Olympic sport. But maybe someone could get some sort of ringette scholarship or it's a national championship that you could go to, right?
Though I believe the World Ringette Championships were just held in Calgary back in October. But yeah, it's not in the Olympics yet because I don't think there's enough countries that have it at the national level is what I understand. But yeah, I think every few years there's the World Ringette Championships. And then there's the Canadian Ringette Championships. So basically, I mean, you start from your, you know, kids just playing for fun. Then you've got your club teams, which is kind of like everyone, all the kind of top players from the area can make a club team. It's kind of different in each province. But and then there's like the AA program. So usually like there's like a B level, an A level, and then the AA level is kind of the higher elite. You know, you're practicing 2-3 times a week and you've got dry land practice and it's quite intense, but it's developed skills like amazingly. And so that starts at U14 and then all the way up to U19, those AA programs. And then once you hit 18 plus, the AA program for adults is what we call the National Ringette League.
Okay.
So there's 13 teams across Canada and they play each other. Usually it's like a weekend, you know, Calgary will fly to Manitoba and play like 3 games in 1 weekend kind of thing. And then there's the Canadian Ringette Championships and then the World Ringette Championships. And every year, each province has their own championships for all levels as well. So that's kind of like the different levels. And then, oh, there's also university ringette. So,
oh, very good.
Yeah, which was really awesome. I played university when I was back in the day when I was younger. Not every university has a varsity team, but it's kind of becoming a thing, which is really great to see. And then every year there's a university cup tournament in Ontario somewhere. Like it's been in London the last few years, Ottawa. It's usually down east, but it's very fun. It's a full weekend of ringette, and it's very fast-paced. And there's also scholarships. It's mainly geared towards university students that are playing high level. So
right.
There's some Canadian Ringette Canada scholarships, and then there's some based on each province. I received a Ringette Alberta scholarship when I was in university, so I was very grateful for that. So yeah, there's definitely opportunity for high level playing and getting rewarded for academics at the same time.
Good to know. So what do you want your daughter involved with ringette?
So it's for the team aspects and the camaraderie of being with a team. It's really important because I didn't have that opportunity, so I struggle with it. So it's a great opportunity for her to be a part of something.
And it's a really great soft skill to develop, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
Cooperation.
And I think it's really imperative nowadays to have that, especially coming out of the kids are just a little bit...
Well, we've lost some of our soft skills because we haven't been able to be together. So this is a great way to rebuild those.
Yeah, absolutely.
And if you're still not sure if you want to jump over the boards and onto the ice, here's one more reason to join Ringette. It's inclusive. You used the word inclusive. And I noticed on one of the national websites that they have policies for transgender inclusion. Mm-hmm. I kind of love that because that's been a big issue for years with lots of sports that we have... Very exclusive.
Yeah. Yeah, Ringette Canada has some really great new policies that have been updated recently, and they have kind of disseminated that information to a lot of the provincial bodies and local associations so that we're ready and open for any player to come. I think that's what, you know, originally Sam Jacks made Ringette to include women and to be inclusive to other people. And I think that's the key, like other people, or just, you know, not just like men playing hockey. It can be that idea of being inclusive back in 1963 is what's fueling this and for Ringette Canada to be super open and to help other associations kind of be open and create policies to make it fun for everyone and accessible. So, you know, even with the promotional material that they provide to associations, it's, you know, even just visually looking at it, it's very inclusive. And it's not just, you know, a white female playing ringette. Like, there's different visuals, there's different languages. So it's just easy to use, it's great to share, and it's very progressive, and I'm proud to be a part of that. So, yeah.
Lovely fabric. Can any age play this sport? Any age. I saw some pretty little kids out there today.
Oh, yeah. Starting young.
Yeah, I started when I was 3 years old.
Yeah, Savannah was three as well, yeah.
Yeah.
She didn't even know how to skate, my daughter. And then by the end of the first couple months, she was a skating superstar. Yeah. And then there's, levels for all ages. And then, I don't know about now, there used to be like a master's group where it was like over...
I think we just have Flex now.
It's just Flex. In BC, it's called Flex. In Alberta, it's called Open. Yeah. So it's anyone 18 plus, and you can be any age as long as you're over 18.
We used to have, so in Prince George growing up, we used to have a couple different leagues. We'd have, like, the Open League, and that was for people that have been growing up in it, and they have more advanced skills. It's a little bit more of a faster team. And then we used to have an Open AA team, which was, like, the really skilled girls used to be on that team. And then we had just the Women's League. And Women's League was a couple different teams, 18 and up, all ages were welcome, and it wasn't super competitive or anything like that. We're just out there to have fun. And that's kind of what our Flex program is more geared towards now, is just everybody coming out and having fun and enjoying that.
Very recreational. Okay.
Very recreational. I do believe that they still have an advanced open team that you can join. It's just something that's not as huge up here in the North.
Just now, but
just right
we're
now,
hoping
it might be.
That it will be in future.
Yeah, okay. Absolutely.
Well, I've already been invited to the Houston Flex.
Because we don't have one.
I got invited to a lot today.
Oh, that's good.
They see some fresh meat out there. The North is excited to finally have a ringette association in Smithers. But to make it a success, they need people to get involved. There are a lot of ways to support this great addition to our community, as Danny, Jaden, and Kristen will explain.
you want to come coach.
Yeah, we're always coaches and volunteers.
Yeah, volunteers.
Sure.
Even if you don't know how to play ringette, if you know how to skate and like kids and just even hockey coaches or any kind of coach, I think we can, you know, teach you the game, and we just want to, yeah, get people involved. And as we grow as an association, we're going to need more coaches. We're going to need referees. We're going to need volunteers. So if your kids are, even yourself or anyone interested, like, just come and hang out with us and be a part of our family. And even gym ringette, we're looking for people to help teach gym ringette. So you don't even have to learn how to skate. Like, if you just are interested in the sport and you can teach, that's
skills.
The way to be involved too. Yeah. Or even sponsorship. We're always looking for sponsorship. It's a great opportunity for businesses in town to be a part of something brand new and very exciting and be a part of history. So that's a way people can get involved. That's
good.
Cool. Luck.
Well, good luck, you guys. This is just such a fabulous thing. It makes me really proud of my town.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, thanks for chatting with us and being excited about what we have.
We're also really short in refs in BC, whether it's hockey or ringette. So we're urging everybody. It doesn't matter. Same thing. If you don't know how to skate, we'll put you with the little kids, and you guys can all learn together. If you do know how to skate, then we put you in that same category as well. We do have also different levels of reffing, but right now they're scrounging pretty bad. So we're hoping to, even with stuff like this, to get people to come out more. Extra cash on the side, you get to do a fun sport.
But
you know what, that's the beauty of it too, is a lot of the teams, they're not sticklers with it.
Okay.
You've made a bad call, stick with your call, and then afterwards they'll be like, hey, just so you know, it happens, but all working together just makes it a lot better of a sport. We're super excited that Smithers is hopefully going to get an association going. You know, in the Northern League, we have some challenges just with our numbers. Terrace itself is one of the largest communities of ringette players, so, which is amazing. So we're hoping to spread that out across the northern part of our province to see if we can drum up a little bit more ringette, because it's all about starting from the grassroots, and a lot of these kids started when they were just wee folks, like some of these little guys that are out here today. So it's lovely that they've stayed with it. So I'm hoping, fingers crossed, that Smithers able to make that happen too.
Yeah, that would be terrific for everybody.
Oh yeah, absolutely. It's always nice to have more diversity in terms of athletics and give girls and boys, because ringette is open to males and females, another option other than hockey. And, you know, and like all of these guys, it's not just ringette that they play. They play, they're multi-sport kids, which is exactly what we want. We want to spread it out so that they're good at a lot of different things, they enjoy a lot of different things, and they have some diversity there. So it's perfect. So, and they're all happy to be here. You can see all these guys all have younger siblings, so they're very engaged with all the new guys, which is nice.
This is fantastic. Ringette is a friendly game.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good game.
You've been listening to CICK News. If you have any hot tips or news stories you think we should cover, contact us at CICKnews@smithersradio.com or follow us on Facebook at CICK News. CICK News is made possible by the Government of Canada and the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the only organization mandated to financially supporting campus and community radio stations across Canada. You can also catch our fresh shows each week at theskeena.com or subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you find your podcasts. Thanks to our producer Pam Hassan and all of our roving reporters, I'm Dan Messick. Thanks for listening.